Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and Happy New Year, and welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, our weekly programme exploring the world of technology from a blind and partially sighted perspective. If you want to get in contact with us, please do. techtalk@rnib.org.uk is our email address. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Now, last week we were looking back at some of our best bits, some of our highlights, but this week we're going to be sort of looking ahead a little bit for what's to come, or what we think is to come at least, in 2026. What are we excited about? What do we think we're going to be talking about? What are we looking forward to, or perhaps even not looking forward to? Joining me this week are regular co-hosts of Tech Talk, Hubert Pavalkovich and Natalie Curran. And we also have a guest joining us this week. We have Sean Keane from AI for the Blind Club. So Sean, do you want to just quickly introduce yourself?
Learn how it can help me, because after my stroke, my balance was terrible. My dexterity and my hands was off. My hands are still off even 3 or 4 years later. And so what happens is when I type, I tend to double letters and really make a mess of the document. And I found some prompts that help me to make that writing look normal, look, you know, like English or close to it. Oh, I didn't talk about the AI for the blind, which is what you had brought up initially. And really, that just came from me playing around with AI. And I started that group because I wanted some place to post all the music and pictures and stories I was making. And I guess people like it, because now there's like 15,000 people in there.
Yeah, it's funny how these things just take off, isn't it? Like, I'll just create a Facebook group for this. So, you know, might get a couple of people joining it. That'd be all right. And then before you know it, yeah, 15,000 people. But it's so interesting that you say that about how AI has helped you there. And I appreciate like you going into that sort of detail. Is there anything in particular that you're looking forward to that you think might be coming down the line this year that, I guess, just enhance that or improve that?
AI essentially came out to the public in 2022, and I like to think of 2022 to about 2024 was like the demo period. That's where everybody was like learning what AI was and what all you could do with it. And now we're in 2026, and it's like we're in the work phase where they got to actually figure out if they can make this, you know, if they can deliver on all the promises they've made. So I think AI will continue to get better. You know, the hallucinations are already much better than they used to be, you know, even a couple of years ago. So all of this stuff improves. It's funny because you'll hear people say, oh, AI can't do this or AI can't do that. And I'm like, it will. Just give it time. And I don't ever look at it like, oh, it can't do that. Like, it's never going to be able to do that. I look at it as, well, they haven't figured it out yet. But they will. So I really do look forward to it improving. As a blind person, I look forward to new devices coming out. And the one I'm really the most impressed with right now is Echo Vision by Agiga. They are really, really nice people, and really, really got a good thing going. There's the blindness stuff, you know, the technology. And like I said, you know, if I could get my transportation needs covered, I'd be set. So I hope AI will improve, you know, the self-driving vehicles, the autonomous vehicles and such. I enjoy making music. I use Suno. And I think probably this year or maybe 2027, somebody's going to come up with an app. I don't know what it's going to be called. And it's going to allow you to make your own movie. I mean, you can already sort of do that with the AI video, but this is going to be like, I want to make a video of Callum, you know, doing something, I don't know. And you'll totally be able to do that with text.
I was getting very worried then for a second, wondering where that was going. You led me very nicely there onto the topic of self-driving cars, because this is something that I'm really, really excited about. And I know these are, the plan is, we spoke to Waymo recently, and They've got plans to expand the trials of this to London in 2026. And Hubert, I know you're based in London or near London. Are you excited for this? Will you be trying these out?
I'm excited about many things when it comes to these cars. One of the particular ones is being I'm a guide dog user, and what I'm particularly looking forward to is getting into the car and not having to ask the driver, is it okay if my guide dog gets in your car? I think it's one of the many things, but it's an experience of being able to be in the car on your own with the car moving without kind of anyone else being there as a as a driver. It's an exciting concept, and it's a future concept for basically being able to have your own car, which I think it's something that I wouldn't say 10 years ago, but now you're gonna go, we are getting closer to me saying, I'm gonna buy a car, and that's actually gonna be my car rather than my car, but someone else is gonna have to drive.
I should warn you though, Hubert, if you're driving through London though, you might be quicker just walking with a guide dog.
I mean, at my speed, I might even beat a self-driving car. You never know.
You probably would. I mean, Caesar doesn't hang about, does he?
If I may, I was in Austin about 2 weeks ago, and Waymo was in Austin, Texas, and a lot of people at this conference I were at, they all got to do it, and me and my wife, we didn't. We took the train down there. It's about a 3 hour ride from where I'm at now, and as soon as we got off the train, I called an Uber. I got a Waymo, and the challenge is that you have to go look for it. You have to go find it. And we had suitcases and all that, and we weren't going to do that then. So I canceled it, and we tried really hard for the rest of the time to get a Waymo and never did. So, but I do look forward to it, and I look forward to how they'll improve. Like I said, you got to go find it. And I would be fine if, if I had if I could wear some kind of hat and they could come find me. I mean, that's going to be the easier bet. I bet it coming to find me instead of me going to find it.
That's probably not far away because with things like what three words, which can triangulate your position down to a nearest square meter, all we need now is for actual GPS tracking sort of sensitivity to catch up with that. And then it probably could. You don't need to wear a hat, you just need to have your phone.
There you go. Y'all are thinking right.
I did have a slightly worrying thought, and it's not like me to think negatively, but I did think, what's to stop somebody else getting in your way more? And equally, who's to say that they got out at the last one? So say somebody picked up a Waymo and said, take me to this destination, and then just didn't get out and then stayed in to meet the next person.
I know the answer to that. I don't work for Waymo, but I heard them talk about this, and there's two things. So there's cameras all over this car. I mean, outside, inside, and they have sensors. They know. In fact, a friend they in Austin they took Waymo, and they were like five people, so they had one person sitting in the driver's seat, which is a no-no. They found out, but the Waymo people, they came online and said, wait, there's too many people in the car, so people had to get out. And so you can't you could you could, nobody could get in there. In fact, when you're going to look for the car, to find it, using the Waymo app, you can honk the horn, you can make it play sound, so you can do a little echolocation and find it. But you also unlock the door when you find it, so nobody else could get in.
Oh, that's really great to know. And actually, from what you've just described, sounds possibly safer than a normal taxi service.
Yeah.
Just a general question to all of you, though, like in terms of actual, like the driving side in general, would you trust it, do you think? Would you trust essentially a robot to drive you around when, like, alongside all the humans on the road?
Think some people also give this argument that actually it's no more or less safer than being driven by a human sometimes.
I think there's some truth in that because, there's an element of risk with any of these things, and it's possibly safer. I didn't know this, I think, until we watched that recent documentary or program of seeing into the future with Chris McCausland, and the Waymo car, it gives you updates of where you're going. That I would find very reassuring, because if it wasn't somewhere I was already familiar with, if it wasn't a case of, you know, take me to the local supermarket, if it was somewhere I'm familiar, I could have the map up on my phone and be like, yep, yeah, I agree, or no, I don't know why we're going down this way. Let's pause.
And the so the car, it's got a lot of features in the app that you can turn on and off, and one of them is audio description. It says it'll describe, I guess, what you're passing along the way. That sounds cool.
I like it, and it'll be good to be able to figure out kind of what, the more you use them, as to how much detail you want in certain areas. If you're driving through a familiar area, you may not want to have too many descriptions, but if you're driving through unfamiliar areas, it'll be quite interesting.
That's also good to know, though, because it's something I said, and I kind of surprised myself a few months ago. Visually impaired people can't be spontaneous, or it's really hard to be spontaneous, because nothing catches your eye. You know, you can't suddenly stop and be like, that's a good idea, or let's do that. Whereas if you had a Waymo car, I don't know how strict it would be, but if it was describing and it said, passing Tesco Express, you're like, actually, perfect, I need meal, you know, I want a meal deal for lunch, or I need to pick up some milk and have it wait for you, potentially, maybe not right at the moment, but down the line, rather than having to plan everything out. Because I sometimes find that exhausting, you know. I wish I could just spot that I'm walking past three convenience stores and any one of them would do what, you know, would have a loaf of bread for me.
That is such a good point. Yeah, because that's something that I always find, like, it's brilliant now that you can get groceries delivered. And I do that all the time. But if it's just one thing, if it's like, oh, well, yeah, I just need to pick up a bottle of milk, you can do that. But then by the time you've got your delivery fee and service fee and small order fee and bag fee, you end up paying like £15 for a bottle of milk. Yeah, you know, it's ridiculous. But yeah, if you could just go, if you could just know when there's a shop nearby and just go in there, do what you need to do, get what you need. And I know people will say you can do that with walking. You can do that with all the apps, you know, Blind Square and things like that. But it's not the same. It's not as spontaneous. You know, you've got to sort of, oh, okay, well, how long is that going to take me? How long have I got? What's the weather like? All these different things you've got to think about.
And I don't know if you guys ever find just sometimes dealing with these apps, no matter how good at technology you are, or how accessible the app is, or how easy the route is, it's just exhausting. Sometimes you're just like, I'm sick of having to be on my phone. And I know I shouldn't be allowed to say that as a Gen Z. I'm meant to be like married to my phone, but sometimes I want to ditch it. You know, I want to not have it glued to my hand, or having these electronic voices in my ear. And obviously Waymo would, but like I say, to be able to do it more spontaneously just sounds really nice.
That's such a great segue to what I was about to say.
You're welcome.
Ira and people were talking this travel conference. That's what it was at. I was at this blind travel summit in Austin, Texas, about 2 weeks ago, and it was really neat. I mean, there's just a lot you could learn. But there were people, you know, kind of downing on AI and all that. And I was like, hey, when I get done, you know, navigating an airport and figuring out a conference center, you know, a conference room, and I get back to my hotel room and I just checked in, the last thing I want to do is talk to somebody.
Mm.
You know, I just want to get on Be My Eyes and learn how to use the thermostat and be done with it.
Natalie mentioned when traveling the ability to kind of ditch the audio, and that kind of got me thinking about Braille, because we've seen a massive rise in 2025 of multi-line Braille. Well, I guess 2024 into 2025, this whole multi-line Braille thing has really taken off. I'm hesitantly excited about this because I know the price is, there's no getting around it, the price is ridiculous.
Right. Yeah,
I just always feel when I get excited about it, the next thing that comes into my head is, yeah, but what's the Monarch, you know, 15,000?
The only good thing is the more devices that come out, the more the price will be driven down.
Yeah,
you know, just by market competition. That's my hope anyway.
But for me, I think what I'm looking forward to, the number of times, you know, going back to when I was in school, which I mean, I'm not going to say my age, but, you know, realistically, it wasn't that long ago. The number of times I sat in lessons just not being able to do anything because, for whatever reason, the teacher hadn't sent the work in advance to be embossed or to be to have those tactile diagrams. You know, they always used to say, but can you please send the work kind of a week in advance, because the VI team had several students and the teachers, like the staff, were doing brailing up the resources in their own time in between lessons. So there was a real squeeze to get it in. And if they got the diagrams in a day or two before, or sometimes teachers would even send it 10 minutes before the lesson, which is ridiculous. But you were just stuck. You were left with someone just trying to describe it to you, or just a very quick sort of drawn version of whatever diagram it was, drawn onto this like kind of tactile, I can't remember the name, we used to call it German film, I don't know if that's the proper name for it.
That's what I called it as well.
Which was where you could, basically a sight person could, well anyone I suppose, could draw on this paper and it would raise up the lines so you could feel it. But it was never the best really. I mean, it did the job, but you could never really get a full feel of it. Whereas now this multi-line braille, I mean, I'm really excited about this. And I mean, Natalie, I know you've used a lot of braille doing like doing maths and things, which is way beyond me, but where do you see this going? Is there anything you're looking forward to in this sort of area?
If I'm honest, I'm quite annoyed that it's not 5 years ago, because I could have really done with this before. You know, trying to read equations on a single line braille display, you can only read one, maybe one and a half expressions of the whole equation, never mind all the rest of the lines. It's just as painful as the price is expensive for one of these new ones. So to have been able to have a multi-line display where I could feel what was coming up next would have made such a difference. We also talked about, I think, like with spreadsheets, you know, you could have it show grids.
I think AI could totally help with math and science and everything. Maybe in combination with something like a Monarch or DotPad, one of the multi-line braille displays. Maybe because now I think we're kind of getting used to this idea of, you know, because with AI, you have text and music and images and video and all that. And so maybe there's some kind of way you combine audio with tactile and make that whole experience better.
Something all of us remembers in school, where nowadays you can just get even electronic stuff, you can get quick. I remember the arguments my teachers had with getting work in advance. Nowadays, it's just in general so much easier to get some of the work quicker to you because technology allows you to work quicker in the education sector. And devices like, you know, we've had like the Monarch, the Canute, the DotPad X, all of these devices just open up another world of possibilities for education. And also what it really does is it keeps Braille so relevant to modern technology. It's amazing to see how Braille can actually defy some of the skeptics and go, well, actually, you doubted Braille tech, and here's this. Here's the potential it can have to improve education, especially education. I mean, it can do in employment settings as well where diagrams are involved, but education is just a setting where it can really, truly flourish.
Also, to Sean's point just there about, you know, audio, tactile, I think we've also all come across, and this applies to anyone in any walk of life, but I think, again, people in disability communities are more likely to experience this, is the assumption that I've met one, so I've met them all. Or this worked for the last person, it'll work for you too. And it doesn't work like that. We're still different people. So it might be a case of AI is able to, you can ask it, how do I explain this diagram from a visual perspective to somebody who has lost their sight so they can picture it and describe it to them that way? Can you create an audio representation of this diagram for somebody less who likes music and is more in tune with it that way? Can you come up with a way using physical materials for somebody who likes getting, you know, hands-on with a diagram, to for me to explain this to somebody with, and actually making that sort of diversity in learning approaches or learning methods available so much more easily to so many more people.
And I guess speaking of making content available, we all know that streaming content isn't going away anytime soon. There's been a lot of talk for a while. I think the accessibility of things like TVs has been hit and miss, and audio description and things like that. Do you guys see that getting better anytime in the future? I mean, I don't know what it's like in the US, but here in the UK we've got TVs that have built-in voice guidance, but then the apps built into those TVs aren't accessible, and some services have audio description on certain platforms, and some of them don't have it on other platforms, but they do have it if you go to the website rather than the app. It's all a bit of a mess, and there are supposedly regulations coming in to help tighten this up. I mean, do you think we're going to see any improvement in that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't even have a TV. It used to be I get a TV and then never watch it, so I'm not mess with it anymore.
Oh wow.
Fair enough. Saves your bills. I think it might be a case of, because you're starting to see it on websites. No, now I was looking at something literally earlier today, just a few hours ago, and it had, you know, an AI chatbot assistant sitting there ready to help you. Kind of freaked me out because I went, "Hi, Natalie," and I'm like, "Whoa." Who are you? But to have something like that on your TV where you can ask it to find you what you need it to. And I, again, today, literally just today, I had a very real, very mundane problem where I wanted to do something online. I thought, you know, this is going to be too hard. It'd be much easier if I just phone somebody. And I clicked the contact us link and there are no contact details there. Well, at least they weren't accessible to me. I strongly suspect they were in some embedded images. So what I did was I copied the URL, the web address, into ChatGPT and said, "What's the phone number for this company?" And it told me, and it was so much easier than going around in circles, trying different links, trying desperately to find something that I strongly suspect was just hidden from me. And I wonder if something like that might become a feature on TVs in the not too distant future. So the accessibility of the app is irrelevant. You just say to it, "I want to watch Countdown," and it opens up Channel 4 and gives you the page of Countdown, or it asks you what episode or what series. And you don't need to worry about which service is providing that program. You don't need to worry about if that is accessible. You don't need to worry about if the moon's in the right place. You can just ask AI and it will find it for you. So I think that could be, I think that's a very real possibility.
I think another trend I really like to see, and it's expanding brilliantly, is natural language commands. You know, I remember the days where you have to be so specific as to what wording you use, what command you give, and make sure you don't get one letter out of place, because if you do, something else will happen completely opposite to what you want. Nowadays, you can actually give a more general command, as if you would casually say it to a friend or anyone, and it will most likely do it, and if not, it will at least try to do it. And I think that's slowly getting better, where you can actually say more natural commands. You know, I can say, you know, I want to buy a novelty advent calendar, nothing boring, nothing predictable, and it will find something like that. Or you can say, I want to buy a mug, but make sure it has a look of a cool shape rather than just visuals. The point is, you can use natural commands to be able to ask for what you want, rather than kind of having to remember a specific command and have to get it exactly right. These days, there's no reliance on that as such.
I think to Hubert's point about natural language is definitely a big thing, and that's what the new AI models are really pushing. Because to be fair, we have had, you know, Alexas and Google Home devices for quite a few years now, which is AI, and people do forget that. But I think actually the natural language thing, for the first time possibly ever, it makes technology accessible to those who are less tech literate. So normally a new tech invention like the smartphone puts people off, or maybe of a slightly older generation, or who are just less comfortable with technology, who just don't know how to handle it, or are a bit too scared of it, or not sure what to do. Whereas to say, you don't need to overthink about it. Just what would you ask? You know, write it in how you would phrase it, and then even if you can't see the look on their face, you can feel the amazement coming off them in waves of, huh, it understood me. That was really useful. And actually trying it. So obviously you still got the same difficulty of getting to try it, but I think it's a lot less scary or intimidating. And like you say, you don't have to make sure you use exactly the right combination of words in exactly the right order, exactly the right time. It will understand you just the way you would normally interact with people.
And I think you're also then looking at the kind of natural next level of this is AI user agents, which have started kind of in 2025, and I imagine will get even better in 2026, where you can actually say, well, can you do this for me? And it will just do it for you. It's not all about text prompts. You can say, can you create this spreadsheet and apply this and this to it, and it will just do it. You don't actually have to necessarily be able to use complex applications to still get their advantages if you so choose to. Or equally, if an application is inaccessible, like you've mentioned, you can just get an AI user agent to use it for you, especially when it comes to filling out online forms, for example. Of course, there is a privacy aspect that has to be thought about and it has to be considered. But the fact that these features are rolling out more and more will mean that you can do a lot more with your voice and ask the software to do a lot more for you without having to worry that you haven't learned how to code or program macros for this specific application, because it can just do it for you.
Something that I'm a little bit, I guess, concerned about, though, I mean, I mentioned audio description earlier and how the rules on that for how much audio description broadcasters and streaming services provide sort of tightening and getting more enforced. That's probably going to lead to more synthetic voices, text-to-speech voices doing audio description, or even reading audiobooks. Where do you guys sit on that? I'm guessing Natalie's reaction from that isn't too keen.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I know these voices have been improving massively, but I'm a little bit scarred from, I think I was about 13 years old and getting an audiobook. And it was a synthetic voice. And I was like, I can get past this. This is fine. Page 3. Okay, no, I can't get past this. But I just think audio description is different to the likes of subtitles, and I think sign language has the same problem insofar as it's not necessarily a like for like swap. You know, there's not necessarily a hard and fast set of rules to follow, and there's a bit of a judgment call to be made. So, you know, it's an art form rather than a science, which is why I'm less keen on it. But as you know, with a lot of these things, I'm happy to be proven wrong.
Yeah, I'd be curious. I mean, it always comes down to how badly I want to read a book to whether I want to listen to a voiceover read it to me or not. And I've done it. I mean, I've done it. I've gotten desperate enough to where I really wanted to read the book. And voiceover is one thing, but the AI voices that have inflection and seemingly personality, I would totally welcome that for audiobooks, for movies, for any of that. Simply, here's a stat that really shocked me, and it just applies to books. That of all of the books in the world that are created every year, only about 20% are put in audio. And I'm thinking, wait, man, if we had a method to make any book accessible with an AI voice, that'd be amazing.
I think a few years ago when I've listened to audio described content using synthetic audio description voices, I wasn't keen, but I think the way the voices have expanded over the last few years, I think I'm a bit less against the idea because I've seen what these voices can be like. And I think depending on what content they're describing, I think it can work. I mean, when it comes to books voiced by AI, I think, Sean, you made a good point. If I can't read a book in audio itself, recorded by an actual human, but I can get it using synthetic, fairly natural sounding AI voice, then naturally, I will jump at the chance. I think, yes, there is a concern for jobs from actual describers. I appreciate that concern. But I think when it comes to, there will be other jobs that will be made available because someone has to still write these descriptions. So there are certain concerns in the job market, but I think it opens up the amount of available content. You're not going to be as limited. Okay, it's not going to be as natural as a human being, you can say, although even these lines can be blurred. But I think the availability of content could be so much greater. The potential could be so much greater.
I think there is a point there, and I do accept that. But my concern is maybe again I'm being unfair or naive, but I just don't think an AI is ever going to be quite as good as a human. And the very real example I have or of this concern is the fact that people might think, oh, we can do it with AI now, so we don't need to bother with a real person doing it. And the example I have of this exact problem is when menus started becoming online or digital. So it started with Good Food Talks, but there's also other ones, or just, websites publish them. And I went into TGI's, this was years ago, and I went into TGI's, and I was by myself, and I was treating myself to lunch. And I asked for the menu. They said they didn't have their real menu anymore. It's okay, you can get it online. And I was like, I think I was a teenager. I was like, I don't have 3G, and they didn't have Wi-Fi. Fortunately, the waitress was very nice and read it to me. A few years later, again, similar scenario, went in, and yeah, like I said, they said it's online, and I did have 4G, and I was, technically able, and I was able to do it, and blah blah blah. As it happened, I did actually just ask them for help because I think that's much smoother and easier than dealing with tech, but that's my personal preference. Is I thought you're excluding people who don't have a smartphone, who don't have 4G, who don't know how to use these things. You're assuming an awful lot, but the assumption is by doing this, it's much cheaper for them, much easier for them, and everybody's happy. Isn't that great? And I'm just concerned with things like AI audio description. And there probably is a distinction between AI audio description and AI reading books, but it's just, I don't want people to think it's as good as, so we can get rid of the other version. It's like, no, it's the other way around. It's if you can't get the human, use AI as your backup. And like I said, I think sign language is similar.
That's the thing for me. I think if it's something that's not going to be made accessible in any other way, like it's a kind of obscure kind of research book or something like that, that realistically there's not the sort of demand for them to get a person in and get a studio ready and get producers on it and all that kind of stuff, because that does cost these publishers a lot to get that done. Then I kind of think that's okay, but especially for fiction. I mean, the gold standard that I always go to when it comes to books is like the Harry Potter books, the Stephen Fry readings of that. You cannot, those books just don't sound
Agreed.
right read any other way. And I think these synthetic voices just can't get it right for fiction, in my opinion. I don't know if they will.
And to Sean's point about the only 20% of books are audio described, sorry, are done in audio. To be fair, written books have been around for millennia. So got to cut some slack. But equally, the increase in services like Audible is really changing that. And I suppose what we need is maybe for more authors to take a bit of a stand on it. So if a few more authors do that kind of thing, maybe not the small ones, because I know it's hard when you're just starting, but the bigger ones, the ones who maybe manage to make a name for themselves, can make a stand like that. It'll make a lot of difference very quickly, I think.
It feels like it's been the year that wearables have finally gone into the mainstream, with the course, the Meta Ray-Ban. To me, it's always sounded quite futuristic when people say, "Oh, there's this smart ring that you can put on, and it will do all sorts. It will track your fitness. It will, all of that." It's kind of been
That sounds James
right, okay,
Bond-esque.
but that's what I mean, yeah. But then it's ended up coming in the form factor. I mean, okay, not in fitness as such, but it's ended up coming in the form factor of things like the Meta Ray-Bans and the other kind of bigger VR headsets like the Meta Quest and the. Where do you see all this going? Again, hard one to comment on without talking about AI, but where do you see this going from a blind perspective and in the mainstream? Anyone going to be rushing out to get a Vision Pro this year?
A lot of people I've talked to about the Vision Pro, they say you couldn't wear it for long periods. It's very uncomfortable. Not to say that it would be a great device to use for, like indoor navigation stuff, but it's, $4,000 too. So, but for full disclosure, I did used to work for Envision Technologies. They make the Envision glasses, the $3,000 AI glasses, more or less. And when you when and part of the reason I don't sell those glasses anymore is when you have a product that's $300, it's a lot harder to sell a device, even if it's for blind people. I think the glasses will continue to improve. I think with Meta opening up their Because they opened up their programming platform to where anyone can write code, anyone can write, I guess, apps for the Meta Ray-Ban platform. The more stuff like that happens, that gives other people the ability, not just the people we know, like Be My Eyes and Ira, but that gives anyone the ability to write software, that could help a blind person. And there's just so many different angles to vision loss. And we think, that we're the majority, that, we're the high tech people. We can use JAWS, we can use the computer, we can use the phone and all that. And we think we're the majority. We're not. We're the minority. The majority are the people that have just lost their vision and are still trying to figure out if they got the courage to get up off the couch and get to the kitchen, and those are the people that are probably sitting there right now going, these people are talking about magic. It didn't exist. But it's all going to get better across the board. And the one thing people are talking about and that I keep hearing about the most is this idea of on-device AI. And basically what that is a device like the Meta glasses or the even the Giga glasses that have the processing power and storage power to have an AI model on the glasses. And there's just a lot of technical hurdles to get past, not to mention that you're trying to get a AI model the size of something like a grocery store, down to the size of a pair of glasses. And that's going to be really hard to do. I'm always looking forward to the future. And we're in the future. That's the other thing. People always say, I can't wait for the future. This is the future.
And it's the same here. Like you say, it's here. I was talking to somebody at the weekend and they're saying, oh, I thought we'd be able to have lights that come on automatically when we come home and the heating turn on in preparation for us getting up in the morning. And I said, you can do that. And they're like, well, you can't really. I'm like, no, you can. And it's not even extortionately expensive. This is mainstream, mundane technology now.
People are still amazed when they come into my house and I just like say one command to my watch and like all the lights come on and
Yeah, it's fun. My friend said it's like living in a spaceship.
right, just to wrap this up then, I'm going to throw you just all on the spot here. If you could pick sort of one thing that you think is going to be a big thing or you think we're going to be talking about a lot by the end of the year or that's going to be particularly life-changing. What do you reckon? What's the thing you're looking forward to the most, do you think? I'll start with you, Hubert.
I think for me, I'm looking forward to more live AI. And I don't mean kind of basic live AI. I'm looking at live AI that can describe things to you as they happen, which is already being slowly developed through apps like Scribe Me. I want to see that on something like wearable, on wearable tech, where I can stand there and I say, I'm looking out for, I don't know, an orange Toyota Prius. Other cars are available, and it will then say that car's pulling up. It's a little bit to the right, without me having to ask a single question, apart from just say, look out for that car, and give it the car. It's you can either call it reactive or proactive AI, but it's that what I want to see. It's on phones slowly in some respect. I want to see that hopefully in wearable technology where you don't have to kind of prompt and ask 500 questions to get one particular answer.
You know, since they brought out that, there's going to be an API that's opening up this year for more apps to become available on the Meta glasses. And my local bus station and train station, probably about 6 months ago now, introduced Good Maps, which is amazing. But I hope they're working on something because I want Good Maps on the glasses. That would just make life so much easier. Natalie, what do you reckon? What would be your thing?
To be fair, I'd echo both of those insofar as I think in a lot of ways we've got external navigation down, but it's internal navigation, you know, of a big building or an unfamiliar setup that would be nice. And the live updates kind of speaks to my point earlier of having the chance to be a bit more spontaneous, you know, when I'm walking home to say, let me know if you see a news agent or a convenience store or supermarkets, and have it tell me. So, like I say, you don't have to plan everything or work out if when it says on maps that it's 100 yards away, is it 100 yards in the right direction? But I think the thing that I'm really excited about is Waymo. So it's quite funny because although I'm visually impaired, I really like cars. I really like
No,
cars.
I'm similar. I'm the same, yeah.
So I think that'd be really exciting. And you know, Hubert, you mentioned about not having to have the argument about is your guide dog allowed in the car, but equally sometimes you get these intrusive questions, and a lot of the time people mean well and it's just curiosity and I don't mind asking. But if you had a rough day and then somebody with not the best manner in the world says, how come you're blind? It's not necessarily the conversation you want on your way home after a long day at work. So it'd be quite nice to get in a car that doesn't ask you that and maybe just plays you happy tunes if you ask it to.
I find it quite funny that Uber, this isn't available near me. I don't know why, but I was in London quite a while ago, and the Uber app is completely different in London. Well, completely different in every city, I think, but there was way more options than there is around near Manchester. But one of the options was quiet mode, where they said, and the description basically said, the music will be off and the driver will not speak to you. I thought, that's a new one, but yeah, fair enough. I can see why, I suppose.
Yeah, I've not seen quiet before. That's definitely a London thing.
Sean, what are you thinking? What's going to be your highlights, do you think?
You know, I mean, there's a lot of things. What is exciting is the agents, and a lot of companies are doing this, like Google, is doing it, Microsoft. Envision has Ally. There's different companies that are making AI assistants that basically become like your assistant. I mean, they help you schedule your life and you know, and just keep up to date with things. I think that would be really cool to have, you know, like a AI bot that helped you keep organized. That's my worst area of is just being unorganized, so I'd love it.
Well, it's been a really interesting hour looking ahead to 2026. I always wish with these episodes that we could play them back at the end of the year and think, how accurate are we? But yeah, very interesting year to come, I'm sure. Stay tuned to us on Tech Talk every Tuesday at 1 p.m. on RNIB Connect Radio, or stay subscribed to the podcast. We'll be keeping you up to date throughout the year, as always. And if you want to get in contact with us, what are your highlights, what are you looking forward to, or what are you concerned about? Let us know. Tech talk at rnib.org.uk. You can send a written email or attach a voice note. But we will look forward to whatever is to come in 2026. Before we go, Sean, do you want to just give a mention to AI for the Blind Club if people want to learn more about that? Where can they go to find out more?
Sure. AI for the Blind Club you can find on Facebook, or you can go to our new website that we're building. We're building an off Facebook experience, and it's at AIFTB.com. And 2026 is going to be pretty awesome for us. So you definitely want to check out that website, AIFTB.com.
Okay, fantastic. Well, again, thank you so much, all of you, for joining us. Thanks to Hubert Pavalkovic, Natalie Curran, and Sean Keane. It's been a very interesting hour. We'll be back with you. Usual service resumes next week. But in the meantime, bye for now.
This is Ken Reed. Join me for the mixtape on RNIB Connect Radio. On the mixtape, we play a collection of songs with a different theme each show. We listen to the first four tracks, during which you can try and guess the theme for the show, which I will have given a grading on the mixtape difficulty scale. See if you agree with my 1 out of 5, or my 5 out of 5. No prizes, just a bit of fun. Feel free to suggest themes for future mixtapes or additional tracks for that day's show. So, let's get on with the music. On Monday evenings at 8 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 1 p.m. Only on RNIB Connect Radio. Blinded by the light,
wrapped up like a douche in the Looking to unwind and swing into your weekend? Then join me, Jake Hart, every Friday night for the Jazz Club on RNIB Connect Radio. Get ready for an hour of timeless classics, modern marvels, and all that jazz, hand-picked to set the perfect mood. I'll guide you through the coolest tunes from legendary artists and exciting new talents. The Jazz Club with me, Jake Hart, Fridays at 6 p.m. and repeated Saturday at 8 p.m. only on RNIB Connect Radio.
Making technology accessible. Tech Talk.
When it comes to understanding the world of technology, sometimes nothing beats having a face-to-face chat. Part of the reason why RNIB Northern Ireland's Tech Fair events have been so popular. Plans are already underway for the next Tech Fair in February 2026, and joining me now to explain a bit more from RNIB Northern Ireland's is PR and Communications Manager Laura Cummings. Laura, welcome back to RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks so much for having me, hello.
Well, for people who haven't made it out to a Tech Fair event in the past, tell us what they're all about.
Yes, of course. So the RNIB Northern Ireland Technology Fair is now coming into its third year. We kicked it off a couple of years ago. We didn't realise it was going to be as big as it was. It's basically now it's become the biggest showcase of assistive technology products for blind, partially sighted people in Northern Ireland. And we're so delighted that it's just grown from strength to strength each year. So it's a free event for people to come along, and they come along, they spend the day. We have, as I said, all the latest assistive technology for blind, partially sighted people, locally, internationally. We have a series of tech talks scheduled throughout the day, which focus specifically on certain areas, and they were extremely popular last year. people were coming along specifically to hear the tech talks that we had on offer. For example, we had NaviLens come over from Spain. Anybody's not familiar with NaviLens, it's a wayfinding code similar to a QR code, helps people navigate their way around places independently. So we had the guys come over for that. We had talks on AI, on apps, Braille and technology, also technology to support people in their jobs and to get into employment. As you know, there's only 1 in 4 blind or partially sighted people in paid employment at the minute, and we want to change that. So but yeah, the tech talks were huge. The tech fair, as we affectionately now refer to it these days, takes place this year on the 11th of February, 2026. We're taking it up to Derry, Londonderry this year. Last year we had it in Lisburn, and the year before that we kicked it off in Belfast. So the idea is to bring it round the country, and I think that's very important, to bring it to where people are. It's not always fair to expect people to come to the big city, and we want to take it out to the wider cities. You know, we want to encourage people to get out and come to us as much as possible. We have shuttle buses that will run from local train and bus stations to take people to and from the event, and yeah, people just had so much fun last year, so we're really hoping to replicate that and strengthen that for this year's event.
The tech fairs in Northern Ireland always have a great atmosphere. The next will be no different, I'm sure. Which exhibitors are already confirmed for Wednesday, the 11th of February?
Yeah, we were actually so delighted with the response. I mean, obviously, we had our exhibitors from last year. You know, you had the likes of Optilec, Sight and Sound, Dolphin, Humanware, VisionAid. So it's testament to the success of last year's that those guys have signed up for this year. So we're still, registration is still open, and we're promoting that, but we really haven't had to promote it too hard. Those kind of technology assistive tech exhibitors are coming to us, which we're delighted about. But we also, as well as assistive technology, you know, the tech fair is very much a gateway to not only all of RNIB services. You know, overall, we had attendance and a presence from every team within Northern Ireland, within RNIB, never mind in RNIB in Northern Ireland. That was very important to us. You know, we wanted to use this as a gateway to showcase exactly what RNIB do and how they do it so well. So, you know, tech fair allowed people to come in and explore all our services and all our teams. But then, likewise, we also had presence and will do this year again from our partner organisations. You know, we have Guide Dogs, we have Deaf Blind, we have Angel Eyes, Blind Veterans. That's very important to us. We have great relationships with our charity partners. So yeah, it's trying to just meet everybody's needs and just have everybody in the one place and all this support, engagement and information under the one roof on the one day.
And how different do visitors find the experience? Getting the opportunity to get hands-on with a piece of accessible tech in person instead of maybe just reading up about it online?
Absolutely, Hyle. I think that was very important for people to come along in person, to physically meet with these tech leaders, the experts in their field, have that one-to-one support. I mean, as well as the exhibitors, we also had the tech surgery, which was a huge hit. And again, it's, you know, just helping people out. Maybe it's with apps on their phone, maybe it's just accessibility features on their phone, on their iPad, on their PC, laptop, whatever. Showing people, you know, firsthand how to navigate through the world of technology, because it can be quite daunting. So people find that extremely beneficial, and it was the personal aspect of being there present on the day of the technology fair. And again, tech surgery will be running again this year. We wouldn't dare get rid of it. It was vital. We also have the likes of I don't know if you're familiar with a new healthcare app called MyCare. It has launched over Northern Ireland this year. It's a portal. It's a patient portal where people can go on and access their results, their you know, information, their appointments, and their healthcare information. We don't have an accessible healthcare information standard in Northern Ireland, so this is really important for us, in that blind, partially sighted people can go on there and choose their communications preferences for the first time. So hopefully they won't be receiving hospital appointment letters in a format they can't read. But the point I'm making is the MyCare team will also be on hand there on the day. Again, it's that one-to-one support that people are crying out for. So we're delighted to have the MyCare team up to Tech Fair in February. So it's about that one-to-one contact and guidance that people really need.
And what's the accessibility like at the Foyle Arena? How easy is it to get to and to get around?
Yeah, it's fantastic and we couldn't fault it. We're heading back up again next week to do an additional site visit, but it is everything you could expect and more, and the team up there are so helpful and working with us, but we will make sure that all accessibility angles are always covered. That's first and foremost for us. But in terms of support on the day itself, Kyle, we will be there in numbers, and not just with RNIB staff. We are so thrilled that once again we will have a fleet of volunteers on hand to work as sighted guides and as meet and greet volunteers. And what's nice about that is that last year we enlisted the volunteer and help of Queen's University medical students, who not only were given us invaluable help on the day, but they were able to learn so much about interacting with blind, partially sighted people, how to guide appropriately, how to interact properly. Those are skills they'll take forward in their career, and they'll take them home to their friends and families and spread that message as well. You know, we're trying to create societal change at the end of the day. So we are delighted that we have also got a huge number now of student volunteers from the local college up there, Northwest Regional College, who we have a great relationship with, and they are going to be on hand as well to make sure that everybody can receive that guiding if they wish. We do encourage people, if they need a sighted guide, bring someone of their own accord if they can do. Some people prefer that, but if not, we have you covered.
Do people need to book tickets ahead of time for the event, or can you just turn up on the day?
You can turn up, of course. It is a free event. However, we are trying to track numbers, etc., just to make sure that, we're catering for everybody. So there is a link to register as an attendee. It's on Eventbrite. I'll send through all these details as well for people to check. And also for exhibitors to register as well. So, yeah, we're just trying to monitor closely numbers this year. But numbers wise, we had over 500 blind, partially sighted people through our doors last year at the event, which was amazing. We had nearly 30 exhibitors, 25 volunteers, as I say. So the numbers speak for themselves.
How can we keep up to date with announcements and news about the tech fair on Wednesday, the 11th of February?
Well, we will be inundating every channel at our disposal, Hal, including your good selves, but also the RNIB Northern Ireland social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Blue Sky. And we'll be issuing media as well. We will also have all this information on the Northern Ireland section of our website. But this is not exclusive to residents of Northern Ireland. This technology fair is for everybody. So, everybody is more than welcome. I know you were good enough to come along last year as well on the day.
Absolutely. Well, we'll look forward to hearing lots more about the 2026 RNIB Northern Ireland Tech Fair. But for now, RNIB Northern Ireland's PR and Communications Manager, Laura Cummings. Thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.